SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline. With the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching this, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Yes, the best of every day now is officially underway. It's Moneyline. It's a Thursday. We got NBA action. We got college football. We got NFL action and a lot of intrigue to get to. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Kevin Walsh at Sirius XM Channel 159, and we are ready to rock. There's so many ways that we can start this show, Kevin, but I'm going to start it right here. What a photo op for the LeBron James family there. Embarrassing, absolutely. The NBA should be ashamed of itself, and Bronny should be banned from playing basketball overseas. Now, your take.
Wow, I legitimately did not see that coming. I don't know why you would say that. I truly cannot believe that that's the route that you went. Usually, you don't even bother getting into these arguments with me because you know how I get. You must be feeling high and mighty off that Russell Wilson Sunday nighter. Would you like to change topics, or are you being serious right now? Because you and Michelle Beadle are both making fools of yourself.
I didn't get a chance. Like, I had a full 10 minutes to blast it. The chat box completely agreed. It was embarrassing for the NBA. It's ridiculous at this point. You know what?
It really isn't.
We should have went full gas, though. Like, he should have started the game. And like, it was the first time ever a son and a father started his rookie year. And, like, nobody would have ever been able to do that again. But my joke yesterday was, like, it doesn't even matter if it's like Bronny James. Like, I actually think LeBron James could have had the Lakers, like, draft his daughter who doesn't play basketball and put her in the lineup. Like, anybody could have fit that for LeBron James. He just chose his son to get it in there. But it was, I knew it was going to be a big topic. I knew it was right away. And I love the fact, too, because my whole narrative would have got crushed, Kevin, if LeBron kicks it out and he splashes his first three-point shot. But the fact that he bricked that shot, played 2 minutes because he plays really good defense. He was a minus five, and I don't know if he's going to play the rest of the season, but it was a moment opening night.
Yeah, look, that is the thing. I'm not sure he'll play the rest of this. The rest of the season is strong, right? But like he's not him playing in the first half, Donnie, right? Like may not happen again for 40, 50, 60 games. It was one of those things where, again, like Bronny being drafted, obviously, you know, we can have this debate for the umpteenth time. There's countless other teams that wanted to get him in the room. Everybody keeps ignoring that. That's okay. Him being on that basketball team with his dad is just awesome. It's a really cool thing. It's never happened before. And they were, of course, Donnie, going to make sure they checked that box on opening night because there was no reason for that to linger any more than that. He went out there and played 2 minutes in the flow of the game. They didn't interrupt the game. They didn't stop. They didn't bring Ken Griffey out during the middle of the basketball game to sign baseballs and toss them out. Like, again, they went about it as normal as they possibly could. While, again, I think you're needling more than being annoyed. But again, like the most people who are weird about it, you come off ridiculous. I'll be honest with you.
I really do. I love the, like, it's funny you say that because I really wish, like, LeBron took it, like, to the next level. Like, I really think he could have called Adam Silver and said, I understand, like, we have time, you know, restraints and how many commercials we have, but if you can, I need to stop the game for 2 minutes. I need to walk around the court like a victory lap, and we each hold each other's hands up as the first father-son duo to ever play in the NBA. Like, really played it up would have been great.
But so here's the funny thing about that, right, Donnie? And again, like, I'm always honest. I somewhat thought that was going to happen, right? Not like to the degree that you're describing it, but it felt like there was going to be a timeout, something on the Jumbotron, standing ovation. And that would have been ridiculous. Like, I understand that. They just subbed in together, played basketball for 2 minutes, and then he subbed out. Like, that's what happened. An NBA draft pick subbed into the game, played basketball for 2 minutes and subbed out. That's all that happened.
You know what I get a kick out of it too, though, is As you know, it had to be a consorted option for the Lakers. Like before the game, Mark, he's going to come in the second quarter. LeBron, you're going to be out of the game. When you go back in, he's going to go in with you. But the fact that like LeBron and Bronny understood, like they probably even talked about it before, like, look, no dapping up, no crying, no giving dad a hug, no running into my arms. And what a great moment it is. Just act like you are a sub coming into the basketball game. Me too. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to look at you. I'm going to take my, you know, warm up jacket off, point to like two defenders I got. You got this guy, and let's play basketball as it plays out. Because again, a part of me, Chris, they really cheesed it up as like a professional photographer came out and like staged a photo for both of those guys. Like, you know, hugging or dapping it up, I would have got such a kick out of that. I would have.
Because here's why, too. And again, I think we're having a good time with this. Because then you would have been crushing it, Donnie, and you'd have been 100% right. Right? You would have been 100% right if Savannah, Donnie, hit the logo to come out for a photo op. Yep. But instead, LeBron was – and look, there's aspects of this that, like, I'm not even going to get into because I don't want to deal with like I will then get annoyed if the reaction goes a certain way. But you can tell how much this means to LeBron, and we'll leave it at that. Where Donnie, he was like, oh, hey, Austin, who do you got here? Hey, AD, you down low?
Yeah.
It's like, all right, LeBron, like, relax. You know every coverage. You know who everyone has. Like, but Donnie, like, for him, he was probably – I'll be honest with you. I think he was more nervous than his son. I really believe that in that moment.
Probably. Yeah. Like, no, then again, it's a great moment for LeBron, great moment for his kid. I just get a kick out of how it comes to Fred. And again, now can we just send him off to the G League so he tries to work on his game? Because the one thing I do understand about sports is, same thing in Major League Baseball. Hey, man, this kid's really good in the minors. Let's bring him up and play him one game a week in the pros, as opposed to he can play 7 days a week and get 50 at-bats in the minor leagues. It's the same thing. Yes, he's going to work on his game, but you have to have that game experience. Nothing beats playing 40 games in the G League as opposed to 40 minutes total in a season in the NBA.
I agree with that. I don't think the way the Lakers roster is, there's not minutes for him right now on a consistent basis. I think what you saw on Tuesday night is how it would look, right? Outside of blowouts, which is not, those are not competitive real minutes that you're attempting to get him there. So I'll say this one last thing. And again, I know like you're like, oh, Bronny bricked that three. So it was just he missed the shot. LeBron, Donnie, though, had a shot that would have given Bronny an assist. One of the worst shots he took all night. Like, I'm telling he was nervous. Since you opened with NBA, can I go to a different topic? Because yesterday I'm scrolling the timeline. And sometimes if you follow two people, they'll show you the original tweet and the reply.
Yes.
And I saw that at Rightside VP replied to Shams Charania, but it went away. So let me hunt this down. I got to see what Donnie's talking about.
Yeah.
Donnie, I got a full belly laugh out of what you tweeted to Shams Charania. Mm-hmm. For anybody that did not see this, I don't want to butcher it, but the news came out that the league is investigating Joel Embiid for not playing. To which Donnie said, if they're investigating Embiid, they got to throw Kawhi out of the league. And Donnie, I mean, it took me out for a couple minutes. That was one of the funniest NBA tweets I've read all season long.
Yep. I mean, I got to get used to Shams breaking the story now for ESPN, so I got to figure out how to clog up that timeline a bit. But I do find it interesting, and I like that the NBA is proactive because I'm a Sixers fan. There's not like, but I don't go to the games anymore. I'm not a season ticket holder, but I can just imagine being like, hey, look, all the excitement for the Sixers, and their star player literally telling you, there's 82 games, I might be around for 30 of them this year, and that's the way the NBA operates. Because usually an organization, wait a second. We're not going to give you an extension if you're only going to play 30 games, right or wrong. You're going to be healthy. That's great. The Sixers in the summer, knowingly, like, you know what? You're going to get the massive extension. We understand you're barely going to play basketball. And the NBA is only about May and June at this point. It has nothing to do with anything for these winter months. Nothing's ever going to change that. They're never going to shorten the season because the money will drop at this point. But I look at it sometimes and say, what a crock some of these guys have. And it's okay. No back-to-backs, anything like that. Just the way the NBA is now. It's Moneyline. We're underway. Come on back with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey.
Last hour of the day officially underway. You know how it gets kicked off. It's Donnie and Kevin Radio, Moneyline Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 159. Before we flip it over to the NFL, because we got some intrigue tonight with some of the statistics coming back, some of the players you want to hunt down. But talking over the break with Kevin on the NBA, again, this is never going to change. They're never going to stop because it's the same. I equate it, Kevin, to the NFL. The NFL understands it's not like we preach player safety. The worst thing you can do to an NFL player is play him on Sunday and play him on Thursday. They don't care why, because the money is so big. If money did not matter, there will be no NFL action on Thursday night because it makes no sense. You flip it over to the NBA. NBA owners are so rich. This was never the case, let's just say, Kevin, even 30, 40 years ago. Usually the owner of the certain team did not own the arena. It was completely separate at that point. But now owners are so rich, Kevin, they buy their own arenas. Case in point, the Intuit Dome out in L.A. And again, even SoFi Stadium. Kroenke, we're not going to give you any money. So what? $5 billion to build this? Here, here's $5 billion bucks. I own the stadium. Any concert there, it's mine. Same thing in the NBA. And we talk about those back-to-backs. There should never in a million years be a back-to-back in an NBA game. It makes no sense. It's bad for the product, and it forces players to sit out. Now, you say, well, why is that the case? Well, Donnie, if owners own the stadium, they can be like, yeah, no, no. What? Owners don't care about anything but money. If they have an arena that's open 365 days a year and basketball only takes up 40 of those nights, they're trying to get the rest of those dates filled up on concerts and what have you, which means, oh, no, we're going to have to play six back-to-backs at home. And then it goes, so what? I'm making so much money on the concerts that are coming behind. Why would I blow out a concert so we can have an empty night so we don't have to play on back-to-backs? That's the reason why there's back-to-backs. That's why there's 82 games. Otherwise, Kevin, and I always say you love this one. Think about if the NBA goes, we're going to operate like the NFL. And play one time on a Sunday, the ratings that you would get as if like the NFL schedule on Sunday, replicate that with the NBA and the excitement that you would talk all week long about one basketball game, which again, they're never going to do, but we understand the NBA. It's about money. That's why they play back-to-backs.
But I think, Donnie, they are kind of hitting a point where they're realizing, I don't know if it's going to cost them money, but it certainly hurt. Again, the perception of the league is, man, you can never get these guys to play. Yes. And I think the one thing that I often try and say in defense of the players, Donnie, is a lot of them are not healthy enough to be playing back-to-backs. Like if Jason Tatum wasn't playing back-to-backs or Jalen Brunson, right? Like, oh, okay, like, I don't know. Donnie, Embiid hasn't been healthy for years. LeBron is 40. Durant is 38. Steph is 36. Kawhi hasn't been able to move forever. Like, of course they're not playing back-to-backs. Of course not. And I just think that for this league, the fact that they keep rolling those back-to-backs onto the schedule is crazy. And I know, you know, that's where it's like, so what do you want? Less games? You don't need less games. You don't need, your season probably is going to have to go a little bit longer, which you can afford to do because you're not running up against the NFL, right? You're not coming close. And the other thing that they can do, Donnie, and everybody will love this, little less games off in between, little less days off in between playoff games maybe. Maybe we don't need to have a finals game on a Monday and then the next game on a Friday. Correct. Maybe we can do that. And then all of a sudden your season won't run into August.
Yes. Imagine if the NBA teams played three games a week and it was just like spread out. Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. It'd be so much better for the league all the way through. The players would play, and that's what you have. But again, it's you know, banging on a wall at this point with your head and saying, like, I need to get through to the other side. NBA's not going to change because they make too much money. And if the NFL is like, hey, you know what? Let's put football games on Christmas Day, even if it's not on a Sunday or a Thursday. And if it's on a Tuesday, we'll make it happen. Damn it. If you guys are going to get injured, look at your paychecks. They're going to increase, and everybody has a handshake and agrees upon that. All right. Now, NBA action, four games tonight. Have some fun. Maybe dip back into it. Love the NBA's back. It's fun to bet. Actually been profitable to me over the past 2 days, but the NFL tonight takes center stage. One of the more analyzing lines, or the more I analyze this line, it's crazy to look at. It's the ultimate split this year, maybe the highest we've ever seen, Kevin, this season between a public play and a sharp play. The reason I bring this up, if you're just looking anywhere, but let's focus on FanDuel. You bring up their betting statistics, Kevin. 90% of the tickets, which is 9 out of every 10, are coming in on Minnesota. 90% of the money on FanDuel also coming in on Minnesota. That line opened up at 3. That line now sits at 2.5. Lower at this point. That's the highest split I've seen this year. The ultimate sharp public square play, because if you look at the game, hey, Minnesota's a better football team. Look how bad that Rams record is. But also, there's now a chance that Cooper Kupp is playing tonight. Looks like he's going to do it. Tom Pelissero, while we were live on the air for the early line, Kevin, you know what he states? Oh, by the way, Puka Nacua is probably going to be back for this game, too. I'm just we might have juice. Kevin, the juices tonight on this game. If Puka and Kupp show up as a last stand effort for the season for the Rams, and if they win it, who's to say they can't win the NFC West now at this point?
Yeah, see, that's where this is confusing to me now, because we have on the record reports that the Rams were calling teams like, hey, Cooper Kupp, man, what are we talking about here? Let's make a move. Mm-hmm. Cooper Kupp would be on the Chiefs if – well, I don't really understand why he's not on the Chiefs. Cooper Kupp is more valuable than Hop.
Yeah, what are they trying to do for – exactly.
They're not in win now mode.
Like when, by the way, real quick on that, Nuke Hopkins goes to the Chiefs. I'm like, oh, I like that. But it, like, usually that's supposed to move the, like, they got their wide out, watch out. It was like, he's not really fast. And yes, he's better than what they have. But you talk about a dominant slot player, like a Julian Edelman was back with Tom Brady. Like, he's open every play. That would have been intriguing. But go ahead, yeah, Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, maybe if anything, Pat's like, no, if we bring Kupp in, like, people are like, ah, Pat, you have to start playing well. No, they're like, and he's like, I can't do that. Like, I don't want to like play well. So please don't bring Cooper Kupp in. For me, Donnie was like, Cooper Kupp, anytime touchdown, last salvo, last game as a Ram. Like, thanks everybody. Kind of right in your face narrative spot.
Yeah.
But it is incredible. Like, you talk about, hey, what does this mean if we see the Rams win it? If the Vikings lose this game, Donnie, we're one more loss away from, okay, yep, frauds. 5-0 was nice. Don't worry about it, though. This team's not making the playoffs. Like, that's what's going to happen if they lose to the Rams here. Don't you think?
It's a tough spot, too. And again, this is the first real Thursday night game, if I can explain it, where we're midseason. Players are banged up. Minnesota's not playing Green Bay on a Thursday where they go state to state. They're going to the West Coast to play on turf against a team trying to save its season and apparently throwing Pro Bowl wide receivers out in mass tonight with Matthew Stafford. There's a lot to break down and angles to play out. This is what we do on Moneyline. It's Donnie and Kevin, and we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Shout out to Chatbox hanging with us here. Sports Grid on demand on YouTube. Even more subscribers every day. We check it out. Thanks for checking in. The boys are out there. Jordan Akbar, Jared, thank you for coming in there and saying hello. Best way to reach out. We are a social media platform. We love to get back to you. Twitter, do it. Obviously, they're on YouTube. New ways to watch Moneyline and the rest of your programming here on the Sports Grid Network. Real quick, we're going to get back to the game in Los Angeles tonight, but I want to keep it in L.A. Kevin Durant said he was a little bit intrigued, I guess you could say, baffled by the wall that the Clippers have at Intuit Arena. 51 uninterrupted rows where the design is to try to throw the opposing team off. Kevin Durant missed both his free throws in the fourth quarter, said he couldn't stop staring at it the entire time, Kevin.
But don't they flip? So what is this, just the fourth quarter edge?
Well, I guess the fourth quarter, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds silly. Also, I guess with the way the NBA is moving these days, Donnie, they might be like, all right, Bomber, you got to build a new state. Like, you better fix this right away. We don't like what we're seeing here. What were you betting, though, through the early beginnings of kind of the NBA season?
Mostly three-point props mixed in. I'll tell you, night number one was great because, you know, a lot of the books will give you some layups out here. And they did. I had two... bets, one on each book was like, all right, one was 25, I think one was 50, which are basically free bets. Loses, no problem, you get your money back. And then the other two I had, which actually won on the odds boost. That was great. Now, last night, I actually went 1-2, but I did hit a parlay. The one I hit yesterday, they had a couple with FanDuel, which I didn't pick the top scorer one because even though it's a boost and it just didn't fit my eye frame. Like, okay, pick the top scorer in this game or this game or this game. I'll say, you know what, let me just lay low from that one. But I did pick the double-double player yesterday. It was James Harden for me, who was close to a triple-double, and Giannis Antetokounmpo boosted up. That was a very nice one. But the one I lost yesterday, I had James Harden to make two threes, like a ton of guys to make 2-1 threes. It was a pretty good payout. You know who I lost yesterday? He actually ended up hitting one, but was ice cold to start the game. Tyrese Halliburton went like 1 of 9 for 3-point range. So I sort of wrote it off. Like, he was like, you know, sometimes you start the game like, I don't know, I'm 0-for-6 from the three-point lines. Dude, he's not even going to shoot like two more to even make two more. I went to bed and I woke up and I saw the final line where I hit every single player I had which included multiple guys in the Atlanta Hawks game. Just a tough scene all the way around, though, on that one. But I've been winning money. The NBA on a night-to-night basis is so much fun to bet, though. I've been enjoying that. I have.
Yeah, night number one, a lot of stuff went well, but gave it back on like a parlay kind of, right? And then night number two, Donnie, my straights didn't work out great, but I took lower versions in parlays, and those came in, which was funny. So I was kind of knocking on the door.
Yeah.
But so far, like you said, I've definitely been enjoying it. I really enjoy betting the NBA. Like, I'm going to bet the NBA more so than I'm going to bet Conference USA on a Wednesday, right? It's going to kind of keep me involved throughout the process. So I'm excited to watch a lot of this stuff play out, watch how the different markets move and things like that. And also, look, for the most part, I understand how health can rock this league. And outside of the Sixers stuff, you do have the league healthy right now, right? For the most part, DRS, so you kind of get to enjoy that aspect of it for a while.
And who knows? And no surprise opening night. Hey, man, I'm looking forward to a superstar power forward to play on the New Orleans Pelicans. He's not going to play. And then also then your guard on the New Orleans Pelicans does break his hand later, which this is exactly why I wanted to use this, Kevin. Because obviously, Zion, get back out there and play. We want to see you play. Illness, I don't know what it was, but hopefully he's back sooner than later. DeJounte Murray breaks his hand at the end of that game. He'll be out weeks. You saw my tweet. I don't know if you saw my tweet. But the fact that we were trying to cheer on Alvin Kamara props against the Denver Broncos, not knowing that he had a broken hand, which has been concealed at this point. Like, how do you feel about that stuff? Because weren't you on Alvin Kamara that night, at least a little bit?
Tell you? Yeah, I was. And when he would get a carry and then come out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I go, is he injured? Like, he wasn't on the injury report. Am I missing anything? You guys are like, no, right? Like, that is where it's really annoying. You have an injury report. Mm-hmm. If a guy has a broken hand, yeah, that's got to go on it. Yes. That's got to go on the injury report. Like, I it doesn't even make any sense there, man.
Broken hand by the right guard. I'm like, all right, you know what? I didn't know that before the game coming in. I think I could, or a defensive tackle. All right, I can deal with that. But the best, maybe, overall player in the football game, you don't have to put him on the injury report. And then a week later, it comes like, oh, man, yeah, by the way, my hand's broke. It's like, why aren't we making a bigger deal? And then you have gambling. No, it's not gambling, people. There's a reason why you have an injury report. It's supposed to be used for specific injuries like that. The best player on your team has a broken hand. Maybe people wouldn't have bet the New Orleans Saints or anything on the Saints.
True.
They got clubbed in that game, too. Let's get back to the NFL. Thursday Night Football. Puka, is he playing? The doc says no. Who knows out here? Cooper Kupp's back and much more right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is why we love interacting with the chat box out here. YouTube Sports Grid on Demand. Mammoth writes in, hey, Kevin, you know people got over $1,000 bonus bet from LaMelo last night? Who the heck would have LaMelo last night in King of the Court on DraftKings, Kevin? Who?
You're not right, Donnie. You're not right. Yeah, I did know. Here's the quick story. I have a group chat with my brother and our friend. And again, essentially, my brother went with Giannis. My buddy was like, who else could we take? I said LaMelo. My brother was annoyed. He's like, why won't you just take Giannis? I said, fine, I'll take Giannis. And then our other buddy still took LaMelo. So he's sitting there with a $1,000 free bet. I'm sitting there with nothing. Mm. And it is, again, the most annoying thing about it. And I know I can be pessimistic, but Donnie agreed. So that's how I know I wasn't being too pessimistic. Yeah. No chance I'll get the guy correct again. No chance.
And you get the guy correct, and it's like, well, who did you have? Yeah, Giannis. Well, everybody did. Here's your $31, which again is nice. You won it. You won your bet on the side. But that's the time where it's like, that's never, put it this way, we are never going to get another $1,000 bonus bet. I don't even think all the way through, Kevin, with how many people now, because when you get that is the beginning of the season where you're going to take a rocket ship. Like, look, I think he's ready to go and can really pop off by what? 4 or 5 games in, how many more rocket ships you getting that nobody else is going to be on a deep slate?
Think about it like this tonight, Donnie, though, is So you have Luka and SGA. No, excuse me. Luka and Jokic on tonight's slate.
Yeah.
You also have Wembanyama, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Mm-hmm. If by some miracle it's not one of those four, I do think you will get a monster payout. Like, even if it's Tatum or DeMontis Sabonis, like, I think you will get a monster payout there. That's the one thing where I do think the King of the Court's really worth it, DRS, because Anthony Davis night one at $93, I think that may be one of the shorter payouts we see all season.
Yeah. This is a monster, by the way, AD, game number one. No worried about sitting guys on back-to-backs, man. The guy came out there like, this is my basketball team, but...
Can I throw something your way? Yeah, but I want to throw a narrative thing your way, because I hadn't been able to talk to you about, like, NBA stuff.
Yep.
I bet J.J. Redick to win Coach of the Year. Mm-hmm. Now, the Lakers will need to be good in order for that to happen, but one of my main parts of that, Donnie, is he is going to get so much credit. Because no coach will be discussed more than J.J. Redick. And I got to tell you, Donnie, and I don't know if you felt this, but leaving game one, the amount of credit, I'm not saying it was wrong, but J.J. Redick was being talked about on my timeline, I felt, more than Bron and Bronny. Like, I feel, again, as long as the Lakers are good, like J.J. Redick is sat there 25-1. I think he's going to be heavily, heavily in the race for Coach of the Year.
Yeah, see, I didn't watch the game at all, so I don't know if it was that or adjustments are better. I have no idea about it. Certainly, as the games go on, you'll get a feel because the public, obviously with the Lakers and the Cowboys and the Yankees and the Dodgers, you'll feel that on social media much more than other teams. And also, he is in the spotlight. A lot of people like the decision. Probably even more people didn't like the decision because they probably don't like the Lakers. And also, it's a great chance of, J.J. Redick's guys are talking head on TV. They're always the lightning rod responses. So things start out well, and all you really need is LeBron James and Anthony Davis, just to start putting this out there. Look, man, practice is wild. Like, the game plans that we got now, wait for those to start to kick up, and that sends into a stratosphere, because when you don't hear those, it's usually, man, as coach, every time I call a timeout, like, I'm not even listening to the guy drawing up the play. Like, in my head, I'm like, hey, you go over there, I'll go over here, we'll make it happen. Forget about this, I'm going high and low at this point and playing some triangle offense out here at the point. All right, let's get back to the NFL tonight and the intrigue. So, are we looking at this game as a possible side wager, Kevin, for you, where it's like, you know what, 2.5 seems cheap for the Vikings? Or really, are we buying into that sharp narrative where the Rams have a new look tonight? And who knows who's going to play? Now, let's start here. Cooper Kupp's going to play tonight. What we're going to get out of him will be interesting to watch. Is he completely healthy? He can be a dominant player. But does your idea change? Like, if Puka comes back and Cooper Kupp, I feel like I would take the Rams at the 2.5 tonight. But if Puka doesn't come out, then I'm like, well, I still think they can win. But I just feel like imagine like Puka comes back with Kupp and they're just completely healthy tonight running routes. Like, they're going to win that game. They're going to win the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, I lean Minnesota because the way they're still, they jumped up on Detroit, right?
Yeah.
And they've been able to do that. And I still think Stafford has some turnovers within him, kind of no matter the game. Mm-hmm. And I think Brian Flores is the swing. It was funny, man, but across the board, we all felt it. Me, you, and Lisi. Yeah. Game number one, they played Daniel Jones and the Giants. And a lot of times, I think people would go, come on, don't overreact to beating up the Giants. And the three of us were like, no, that was different. That was not just beating up on a bad team. That Minnesota team's a little bit better than the preseason projections.
Yeah.
And then they follow that up by beating the San Francisco 49ers. And obviously from that point on, I was like, okay, this is a real football team. Mm-hmm. Flores is the swing factor. That Rams defense is still not good, DRS. And I think that could be the swing in this game.
Yeah. It'll be fun to play out. There's a lot of superstars. Like, I'm already cooking stuff up. Like, cause I don't want to FanDuel. You know what? Let me just check. I didn't still get Bet365. They usually cook something up for us too. Let me just see if we get eyes on this. All right. One of the more fun ones I do like. $10 per touchdown in bonus bets, which is great. So no unlimited. Like, they score 7 touchdowns, Kevin, you get 70 back even on a $50 bet, which is great. There's no limit. Like, hey, Dinger Tuesday, if they hit 11 home runs, you only get 5 of them, like FanDuel tries to throw at you. So that's a pretty good one. I like to see that. Maybe they'll get a boost later outside of that. But that's, I'm definitely going to be in on that. 30% profit boost tonight, and also a no-sweat token on a 3-leg parlay, at least a 3-leg parlay, which I love. Now, here's the thing with me. You're supposed to use these to your advantage in a way. But I'm always so conservative. Like, if they tell you, Kevin, here's $25 or $50, go out there, let it rip. It loses, I'm going to give you that $25 or $50 back. So most people say, okay, I'm just going to get the $25 back and I'll take a lottery ticket. Me, I'm lining up stuff at like +105 to juice up, right? Which is hilarious to me at this point. Matthew Stafford, Sam Darnold, Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, whoever you want to put in there. But then the other one, obviously, I think it's a -200 or better, which I do like those odds market with $50 for me. It's listed tonight, maybe $100 for you. Something to check into. But how do we play this out tonight? Because I want to include Cooper Kupp in this. But I know sometimes with players coming back and the chance for re-injury kills you at this point. But I don't feel like I'm having that with Cooper Kupp. Like, I think there's no reason he can't get 40 yards tonight when his number is 66.5.
Yeah, I think that there's a chance Cooper Kupp goes out there, Donnie, and puts up 100. Like, I'm a little tempted to take big numbers. Now, if Puka's out.
Yeah.
If Puka's in, I don't really know what I'm supposed to do with any of that then.
Yeah.
But if Puka's out, the Vikings, Donnie, have struggled with number one wideouts. You heard me with my Amon-Ra St. Brown best bet on Sunday, which came in, scored a touchdown. Yeah. That is then very applicable to Cooper Kupp, and I will look to play Cooper Kupp through any and all numbers as long as Puka is out. If Puka's in, I do think we've seen that Nacua is their number one. I think Kupp's the touchdown guy. I think Kupp could get through low numbers, but that's kind of – now, I'll add this. I'd be more careful with Puka Nacua than Cooper Kupp. I worry more about Puka Nacua than Cooper Kupp in terms of health. So maybe we then just play Matty Staff, right? Still a dog in the football game. Over 1.5 passing touchdowns was plus money. That could be a direction to look for me tonight, where instead of worrying about those guys getting injured, trust Stafford, who should be out there throwing all game.
Yeah, shout out to guys in the chat box here. Mammoth says Bronny, king of the court, he's locking that in tonight. Man, what's that payout going to be? $1 million straight to you.
What's so funny is, Donnie, so I truly didn't understand what it was. First of all, I didn't know what it was at all the first night. I had no idea, right? Yes. And then even yesterday was very confusing to me. Night one, I used it on Mikal Bridges. I never would have used on Mikal Bridges. Are you kidding me?
I'm telling you.
Are you kidding me?
I read the fine print while I was walking my dog, and I think halfway around the loop, I was starting to get the understanding of what I was actually betting into and doing. So it is a pretty good promo. We'll continue with NFL. More hot topics next right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moneyline people, it's where we give out the best information on the planet. If you want to be a millionaire out here, I'm going to tell you how. You take Russell Wilson to win MVP of the NFL. Any unlimited, max out your credit cards. Sell your Bitcoin. Get involved in Russell Wilson. I think I have the power to say that right now in the air.
Get everything in there.
People are always say, "Hey, I want to invest." You want to invest? Invest in Russell Wilson. We all won't be working by the time it comes to February, Kevin. MVP style. What do you think?
Again, I expect him to get benched. Do not max out any credit cards. Donnie usually free bet on it. Nothing more. So please, do not do anything.
Nothing free, pal.
What are they favored this week, Tony, over the Giants? What are they like?
You know what?
5-6? I don't even know what the number is.
I thought it was 6.5, maybe. Let's see. Let's check it. 6.5, yes. 6 and 6 and 6.5s, depending on your shopping for Monday Night Football. 36.5 total.
Boy, oh boy. Now, when are they gonna bench Buddy? Daniel Jones. It's coming. You know it is. They're all worried about this injury stuff.
But you know what? We're never going to get to this game Thursday, and I'm fine with it because it crossed my mind, and I forgot to bring this up. But we did it on the early line. Did you see John Mara at his release of his father's documentary? Did you see what he said, Kevin?
Tell me.
Joe Shane and Dable, no, there's going to be no changes made at the end of the season. And I just said, this is fantastic. Because now what do you do if you're the Giants coaching staff? Do you just play Daniel Jones the rest of the season just to keep losing games because Drew Lock might be a better quarterback? But I'm sure there's probably provisions where if you snap your leg and you can't pass a physical that the Giants still have to keep Daniel Jones. But the whole reason I bring this, because, and again, people know this. I love Brian Daboll, and I still think he can be a quality coach. But you got such a massive downgrade. Like, Brian Daboll had the perfect situation. Hey, ownership. You see what I just did with Daniel Jones, who I think is a terrible quarterback? you let me get my guy in this door and watch us dominate. And I'd be like, oh my God, watch out NFC East. But he was in those meetings with the general manager and the and the owner. And I don't care, Kevin, if the owner sat down at that table and goes, Daniel Jones is going to be our guy. Brian Daboll should have said, Daniel Jones is your guy. I don't even want the rest of my contract. Just let me go now. I'll go be an offensive coordinator for one season. I'll go to a real franchise and take it over and get more money than God can actually create at this point. But he sat at that meeting and okayed that because I don't care what anybody tells me. Your head coach didn't have a say in who the quarterback is going to be when he's a quarterback whisperer per se, and that's his job as an offensive coordinator. So right there took me, Kevin, from Brian Daboll as one of the better up-and-coming coaches in the NFL, which I believe he can be too. I can't trust him, and I'd fire him tomorrow. How about that?
Yeah, I do love the world where if you were the owner, you'd be like, all right, let's see if they're smart enough to tell me that this guy needs to go. I still think Dable's a good coach. I think the Giants, though, could be set up for a disaster, Donnie, because so they keep everybody. They're going to get a top five draft choice. Jones will be gone. They'll take a quarterback, Monroe, Beck, Sanders, whatever it is, right? Cam Ward, right? They take that player. They will have to start him week one. Not even a debate, right? Like the way down in the conference. Have to start in week one, and Daboll then is going to have about 10 weeks to play winning football. It will not be what's going on in New England. There will be no grace given. He has to win right away. And if that doesn't happen, guess what? Dable's gone, new coach in, with a year two quarterback who he didn't draft and doesn't like that much. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, wheels keep spinning. All right, we took the wrong quarterback. Sorry. Also, we got to fire this new head coach. And in 5 years, Donnie, they'll be on their third coach and third quarterback, and it's like, what just happened here? The season is shot. But Brian Daboll shouldn't even be there. Like, Brian Daboll should show up to Sunday and be like, yeah, I don't have a game plan. I was watching college football all night long trying to figure out who my quarterback is.
Yeah. I'm making phone calls down to Alabama. Love that program. Used to work there. I'm trying to help them out. Look, I'll get to our Giants in just a couple seconds. Like, that's what he should be saying at this point now. But they're going nowhere fast. And that offensive line that gave up 8 sacks to the front, Kevin. Now, we don't usually do this. Like, when we get in the studio like tonight, we never go to how many sacks are individual players getting. I think for the first time, Kevin, I will have a parlay that will include Pittsburgh Steelers players to get sacks on Monday Night Football. And I'm not looking, I don't even know if the odds are out there. Is TJ Watt like usually a sack is like, hey, he's really good, minus 120-ish. Yeah. He's got TJ has got to be minus 250. He's got to be
minus 250. They probably won't even hang it. They probably give you over 1.5 plus 190. You know what I mean? Like one of those where like you can't touch the one market there. It's crazy to think about, though, because if it's a situation where you're like, hey, everything's fine as long as Daniel Jones doesn't get injured, just bench him. There's no saving face. You're a bad football team. Just bench him. Don't let him get hit by T.J. Watt and Minka Fitzpatrick. Don't do that. You don't need that, Donnie.
Oh, man, this Giants team. But that's, by the way, full slate this week in the NFL, so you got to really enjoy that. No, 9:30 a.m. action over there in London. So we'll be able to have a pretty clean pro football today without any distractions that morning.
Do you know what do you got? Do you know what the week after we have a 9:30 game? Do you know what we have in Germany?
Is it the Giants though? Did I just see that come out today where it's like Machine Gun Kelly is going to be the halftime entertainment? I think it's the only reason why I saw it. Is it Giants?
The Giants. Who is it? Panthers.
Oh, wow. The toilet bowl. See, honestly, Kevin. That is the best game to have at 9:30 a.m., right? You know what I mean? Like, do we really want to be on air and they give us, like, the best game of the week as a 9:30 a.m. game? Like, no, like, you won. We'll have action on, as we always do. It'll be a bad football game, but it's background noise. Like, we should go back to when the Jaguars were knocking, which, by the way, they're getting back to being non-competitive right now. But when we used to, like, who wants to go to London? The most horrendous teams would raise their hand and go, Roger, send us there repeatedly. We sell 10,000 tickets in our home park. I'm going to get 70,000 guaranteed. You want to put us over there permanently, we'll go. And then it turned into, you other guys not raising your hand. Like, we're going to start fining you. And all right, I'll go over there at this point. So you're getting better teams and better football games. But that's, we should be, you should, if you can, you know, scape out the Philadelphia Eagles and Cincinnati Bengals in a flex. We should be flexing that UK game to put the worst game of the week over there every single week. And I think that could work out long term. How about that? I promise we are going to talk NFL games tonight when we get back. Cooper Kupp, who's it going to be? Matthew Stafford, who's winning it? We'll get to it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, I'm excited for tonight's game. We got juice tonight. We really do. Because if you're looking for top-flight wide receiver action, it's going to be Justin Jefferson. Could it be Cooper Kupp? You want two good running backs that are going to control the game without having to look over their shoulder like, man, can't believe the backup got nine carries tonight. You're going to get that tonight. Two quarterbacks that can sling it and two unbelievable play callers, which is why we sit at that 48.5. And look, 34.5, 36.5, 38.5. Ooh, I hope we get offense. They're expecting offense tonight, Kevin.
Yeah, they are 100%. I'm looking towards Cooper Kupp. You know, do we feel, Donnie, that maybe somewhat Sam Darnold is having his card pulled a little bit, right? I mean,
the book is
out. I don't know. Maybe that's unfair. Maybe I'm kind of waiting for that shoe to drop because I find it to be a little inevitable here. Mm-hmm. But this is a really fun game, and it's a fun game that I think you're gonna leave with talking about, man, this Minnesota team, 6-1, air playoff team, we know it. Yeah. And here we go. And then what that means for the Rams, sell-off season. You know, we talk about Kupp, like you mentioned Stafford getting traded. Mm-hmm. But who makes that phone call? Like, that's what I can't figure out. Is there an obvious answer out there?
No, there's no obvious, because I was going over yesterday on the radio and even asked Ben today. I was like, oh, hey, Matthew Stafford's up. And I'm like, is it the Titans who are at, like, no, there's no real, like, pressing need from a team that's going to try to make a playoff run to insert an expensive aging quarterback on your roster. Like, I even saw the one account that was saying, hey, Stafford might go to Minnesota. I'm like, I don't even understand that. That means Darnold, who's 5-1, isn't actually playing good football, but then you get Stafford and you go, well then I'm going to sell J.J. McCarthy for a 5th-round pick next year because he's not going to play for 4 more years on my franchise. Like, I have no idea why Matthew Stafford would be on the market at this point for a contending team that doesn't need a quarterback. I don't get it. I don't know.
Yeah, like the first thing that comes to mind, and I'm not doing a bit, would have been Pittsburgh, because I don't believe in either guy at a level of like, we're going to go far. If the Pittsburgh Steelers had Matthew Stafford, I would consider conference championship.
I think Tomlin would retire. Like, we have to pass the football and be really efficient. Yeah. He'd be so angry at that. He loves this. I'm going to focus on these two quarterbacks. We're going to win with defense. Like, I think Stafford would break the brain of Arthur Smith and Mike Tomlin.
I'll throw another one out there. I don't think you just mentioned this. And it's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you're the Colts, do you just give up on the Richardson thing and just bring Stafford and Donnie and see if you can win? I know that sounds crazy, but, like, if you're McVay, wouldn't you just take that? Like, we'll take a shot on Richardson.
Yes, we're revamping anyway, especially if they lose tonight, right? And also from a standpoint of Shane Steichen, I just think the name, the face, the fact that he's in Indy, you know, he was the Eagles offensive coordinator, but who really knows offensive coordinators when they're only offensive coordinators for like a year or two in the NFL? He's one of the best play callers in the NFL. Like, you give him like superstar players, that offense, because that Eagles offense that got to the Super Bowl cooked everybody on the planet. Everybody. And I think he can replicate that. But again, he's winning games with Gardner Minshew, Joe Flacco, and like the skeleton of Anthony Richardson, who's not really a quarterback, but masking Raider around this one and winning games. Yeah, it would be interesting. I don't think they would make that move because I sort of think that Anthony Richardson's like the owner's guy anyway now at this point. He would never get rid of him. So that's the way I think that plays out.
Like, that's just the problem. Like, there are teams where you're like, ooh, he'd be an upgrade. Like, we can get into a debate if he's an upgrade thing.
Yep.
I'll use Miami. Like, that's just the first one that comes to mind where people are like, Stafford's better than Stafford. Right? Stafford's better than Chuchu. Stafford. But, like, they're never making that trade. They're never doing that in a million years.
Too much money.
So, like,
that's the one you make in the offseason. Like, hey, you know what? We don't know if Tua's going to be our guy. Hey, LA, you want Tua? see what he can deal with for a year or two, and maybe you can rehab him, but we just can't win at that point. We're ready to win now. So that's the way I look. By the way, tonight's market for touchdowns, Kevin, Kyren Williams is skyrocketing. He's now for minus 195 to score a touchdown tonight, fam.
He probably should be higher. He scores every week. He scores every week.
He is absolutely amazing, man. And I do bet him typically every – like last week I had to – his numbers are so bad that I have to parlay him with other players. But I took Barkley and Kyren Williams last week and it cashed in to give me a decent price. But you're right. If you just said – because I was – that's too high a price. And I say, give me one player who scores tonight. And you go, well, Kyren Williams, what's the argument, right?
And you don't have to wait long, right? You don't have to wait long.
Yeah.
Like, I was looking down at a minus 175 Wizards to be a bottom two team in the East bet.
Oh, my goodness. Like, you got to wait all year?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And sit through Wizards basketball.
Exactly. This is what it is. By the way, big Wizards win tonight. From what I'm hearing from the boys out here, money line against the Celtics could be.
That'd be awesome.
Chris Mine, the Wheels of Steel, Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Walsh. It's money line. See you tomorrow.